Hi, I'm John Weeks, and this is The Nature of Things, a program about the world we live in, presented by FM 90 and the Rice Creek Field Station, a unit of the State University College at Oswego. We're walking over the back areas of Rice Creek Field Station now, along the trails. You may be able to hear the stream. We're right down along the stream right now. I'm going to flip over a couple of rocks on the bottom and see what signs of spring we might find there. Look at that, on that rock. It's covered with little insects, about 3/4 to a half inch long. They're the ones with two tails are stonefly nymphs, and the ones with three tails are mayfly nymphs. Now, you know, we're going to walk up a little bit from the stream and consider what this might mean to it. It's the first thing we've seen here. These little insects are getting very close to the time when they're going to emerge from the stream and will actually come out into the air. They'll mate and fly upstream and mate and lay their eggs either in the water or right near it. And on the way, they may become the food for a trout or perhaps something else that, birds or some that may like them. As we move along through the stream bottom, we can see one place along here that where the area is just covered with deer tracks. They've put quite a trail through here. It looks like dozens of deer come through. Actually, it's probably just a habitual trail made by two or three deer as they come through here. As we get up into the field, we can see that the trail begins to run out, and we can really not any longer be sure exactly where the deer went. But one way we can tell is we look at the shrubs along the way. We see these viburnum that have been really rounded off by the something. It looks as someone's taken hold and broken off the tips of many of the branches. Actually, that's where the deer have been feeding upon these tender viburnum shoots, something that they like to eat. The reason the tips are so ragged is that the deer really can't just chew them off. It has nipping teeth only in the lower jaw, so that when it has to grab hold and break them off, and that leaves a ragged edge. Now, as we walk along up into the field following the deer trail a little further, we find a place where the where rabbits have been chewing on canes. Let's stop and look at that for a minute. Here, it's quite different the way they eat, because they have both upper and lower nippers, and when they chew on the vegetation, they cut it off very precisely, just as if it had been cut by a pocket knife. In either case, of course, they're chewing them because that's food for them. Now let's go along the trail again. We're now following the deer trail to the point where it crosses the Carlita Snig Trail. So whatever we see from now on is something that you might see if you go out to look at the area. Oh, look up ahead there in the bushes along the side of the trail. There are two nests. One of them is different from the other, however. They're both catbirds' nests from last season. But one of them has been taken over by a deer mouse, I'd guess, and he's built a dome over it. Let's stop and look at it. That dome is built of vegetation, and then it's lined with down. Let's just see, maybe the deer or mouse is in there. No, I guess nothing there. Out to lunch, probably. Well, let's continue to walk along here and see what else we can find. Now we're coming very close to the point where the bridge goes over the trail, and we stop for a minute just to observe something along the edge of the trail. That old willow stump there has got holes in it, long oblong long holes, big enough to put your hand in. Those were dug by a pileated woodpecker. This bird is almost as big as a crow. It's a handsome bird, black and white with a red top knot, a very loud voice, which it uses frequently. But you see, it's been in there after the carpenter ants that undoubtedly infests the center of that old stump. Now we're walking along again over the bridge. Oh, look at that up ahead. See that pair of birds? They look like ducks, but they're not really. Those are hooded mergansers. Notice how that handsome male bird, black and white with that crest and that white crescent on the crest, and the female who's much grayer and duller in color. But see the way that bird's moving. That's a courtship activity. If we could pick it up, we could hear the funny sound that he makes as he swims around her time after time. And notice how she doesn't seem to be paying any attention at all. But don't let that fool you. Okay, we've come off the bridge now, and into the woods again. And we'll soon be, oh, look up ahead. There's a place where beaver have been chewing on a tree. In fact, notice that right there. That's where they've cut down a tree. That's an aspen tree. Okay, let's go over and look at that. You notice those marks, those ridges in a tree. Well, those are made by the teeth. They're about a twin tracks about a quarter of an inch wide each. You ever imagine how many hours it must take for a beaver to cut down a tree like that? And the reason for it, of course, is to get at the tender shoots, the buds and so forth, that are the tip of the tree, and those are the food of the beaver. Well, up ahead again, I really see something unusual now. You won't very often see this. We're getting in sight of the pond now, and I'm just going to stop. And flying overhead is an osprey. This is a bird that has a wingspan of as much as 5 feet and go wings. But he's going back and forth over the water, probably searching for little fish or something that he can dive on and catch. Well, we're only halfway through our walk, but we've got to stop now because we're running out of time. Perhaps we'll take another walk later on in the season. This is John Weeks saying that's all for this week. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.